Last case is case number 12 on the agenda, 21-880. Sure, we had a record of you having an attorney, Sarah Telly. Is he not representing you anymore?
He is, but he represented me on a criminal matter, he said.
Okay. You're going to have to use a big voice, too. I can tell.
Okay, counsel, can you please identify yourself for the record as well as your witness, please?
Yes, I'm Attorney Matthew Reed. I represent the issuing authority, who is the Commissioner of the Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection. With me today is Officer DeRubis of the New Haven Police Department. That last name is spelled DeRubis. And I believe I said that correctly.
You did. Pretty good.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Counsel, would you like to make an opening statement?
Sure, I'll make a brief opening statement. This was a revocation based on suitability after the issuing authority was notified of an event that occurred in New Haven on May 23rd, 2021 at about 8:30 in the evening. The appellant is accused of driving a vehicle into the rear of another vehicle that was stopped at a red light. Field sobriety tests indicated that he was intoxicated. During a pat down, they discovered a firearm, not in a holster, which was on his person, but in his pocket. He was then taken into custody and charged with interfering with an officer operating under the influence and carrying a firearm under the influence, as well as the motor vehicle violation of following too closely. After the issuing authority was notified, the permit was revoked on June 3rd, 2021. And that is those are the facts to which the witness will testify. Thank you.
Sir, would you like to make an opening statement?
Yes. First off, I would like to, apologize to Officer DeRubis for the situation and understand that within that situation that...
Can you please speak up?
Within that situation, we all have choices to make, and during that night, I made a bad choice, which I hold myself responsible and accountable for, but that night is not a definition of the character of who I am, and that's shown throughout my career, and that's also shown throughout like my business activities and also personal life. And I don't want that one situation to be a definition of who I am.
Counsel, you may proceed.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to call my witness to testify, Officer DeRubis of the New Haven Police Department.
Mm-hmm.
You are, in fact, Officer DeRubis?
I am.
And you work for the New Haven Police Department, is that correct?
I do.
And can you give us a brief overview of your responsibilities as a police officer? Were you working for the New Haven Police Department on May 23rd, 2021?
I was.
And on that date, can you describe what your responsibilities, your general responsibilities were as a police officer?
I was assigned to District 3, which is the hill, lower hill of the part of the city, assigned patrol, taking routine calls for service.
Okay. And did you have reason to encounter the appellant that evening?
Yes, sir.
And can you tell us the nature of your encounter with the appellant?
It was a motor vehicle accident, Sergeant Drive, by the Trumbull Water Authority.
Okay. And do you recall what happened with that motor vehicle accident?
I do.
Can you go ahead and describe that to us?
It was a two-car motor vehicle accident on Sergeant Drive. It was a white pickup truck. I don't remember what type of car he was driving. His car struck the white pickup truck. Went on scene. He immediately informed me that he believed the appellant was intoxicated. Spoke to him, and that led me to go on my investigation on the crash and what happened after that.
And who told you that they thought the appellant was intoxicated?
The other driver.
Was anybody injured in this accident?
No.
And so was there anybody else in the appellant's car that you recall?
No.
And when you got to the scene and you, where was the appellant when you arrived? Do you remember?
He was on the sidewalk. He was out of the vehicle.
He was out of the vehicle. Okay. And so can you describe his appearance, his demeanor when you first confronted him?
He was concerned about, he wanted to talk to his wife, he didn't want to talk to the police, he wanted to wait till his wife arrived on scene. I spoke to him. He didn't want to give me, you know, license, registration, insurance, didn't want to speak to his, us to wait for his wife to show up on scene before we did all that. I don't know if you know New Haven, Sergeant Drive is a pretty major intersection going out to the highway. I gotta get these cars moved. Officer Smith, another officer arrived on scene, he spoke to him. I went back to the cruiser, but immediately while speaking to him, glassy eyes, sweating while he spoke, slurred speech.
And the glassy eyed and swaying while he's talking, what does that indicate to you?
That someone is impaired.
And did you note the odor of an alcoholic beverage?
I did, sir.
And once you noted, made those observations and you noted that odor, what did you do then?
Before we moved on to the website, the DUI portion of the investigation, when we returned back to Mr. Manick, the appellant, Officer Smith was speaking to him. Officer Smith informed me to put his hand behind his back, hence his body, put his hand behind his back. I noticed Officer Smith informed me an empty holster by his belly button. Officer Smith asked him where was the firearm. It was in the viewer's in his right pocket. Officer Smith took out the firearm and rendered it safe.
Okay. What did you say? You made a comment when he went to put his hands. You said he tensed up his arms and put them behind his back. What did you?
He didn't. The appellant didn't really know why we were putting that handcuffs. That didn't happen.
Did he seem to be actively resisting?
Passively at that point.
Okay. That's fine. So you did find a gun in his possession?
Yeah.
And do you recall what kind of gun that was?
Ruger. LCP, I think it was a 380.
Okay. Was it loaded?
Yes, sir.
So it was a loaded, just to review that, a loaded handgun in his pants pocket?
Yes, sir.
But not in the holster?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What happened to the gun after it was cleared? Did the police seize the gun?
Yes, sir. Other officers arrived on scene. Officer Lamb and Officer Unknown took care of the gun, took his permit, brought that back to police headquarters to seize the weapon, put it into the property room at 1 Union Avenue.
Okay. And the appellant was arrested, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And do you recall what the charges were?
Yes, sir. It was interfering, driving while intoxicated, having a firearm while under the influence, and then falling to an infraction.
Do you recall the basis of the interfering with an officer charge?
Yes, sir.
Well, can you describe the conduct that led to that charge?
So, like I said, originally on scene, when I was speaking to him, he was evasive, didn't want to give us documentation. We put him in handcuffs, didn't really know what was going on. Myself, Officer Smith, had to put him in handcuffs. If I was alone, I probably would have struggled. And then, additionally, after the fact, while we transported him to the substation to try to conduct a field sobriety test, we also had an issue with him complying with the field sobriety test. And at that point, after about 30 minutes of going back and forth, we had to put him in handcuffs once. He said he wanted to take the test, and then the second time we put it again, and that time was a little bit more resistance, tensing his body once again. I took myself, Officer Noble, and Officer Smith to put him in handcuffs.
So, did you say that he was refusing to perform the field sobriety test?
Yes, he did.
Okay. And once he was transported, where for booking? Was he transported to police headquarters or a substation?
For when he arrested you, just 1 Union Avenue for the breathalyzer.
Okay. And so did he take the breathalyzer?
He did not.
He refused the breathalyzer?
Yes, sir.
Was there any other test done to determine the alcohol content of his blood?
No, sir.
Okay. And did he make any other comments to you or any other, I'll draw it out. Was there any threatening behavior?
not directly toward the officers, no.
Okay. Any reckless behavior or belligerent behavior?
Not directly. I mean, throughout most of the interaction, he was most concerned about where his wife was. He wanted to see his wife on scene.
Okay. She was not in the car, correct?
She was not, no.
Did she come to the scene eventually?
I was informed that she was on scene, but at that point, he was transported to a substation.
Okay. As a result of the arrest, do you have any idea what happened in court?
I was informed by you, it was dismissed or not. I didn't follow the case.
Okay. So you don't have any firsthand information?
No.
Okay. Since that event in March of 2021, have you had any additional contact with the appellant in your capacity as a police officer?
Not that I know of, no.
Are there any other... I'll withdraw that. Those are all the questions I have for right now. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Sir, do you have any questions for the witness?
Yes, I do. In the beginning, when you mentioned that it was determined I was intoxicated due to a breathalyzer when you made your opening statement, but as stated, I didn't take the breathalyzer test. And another thing, you guys stated that the gun was a firearm was loaded, which it was not. I had the firearm in my front pocket.
All right, so you're going to be able to testify on your behalf next. Right now, do you have questions for him?
Oh, no, I don't have any other questions.
Okay. Does the board have any questions of the witness? Seeing none, any other witnesses, counsel?
I have no other witnesses.
Okay.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
As stated, you stated that the firearm was loaded, which it was not. When I entered my car, leaving the location where I was at, I don't live in a far proximity from the location. It's basically one exit. I took the firearm out of my glove compartment. I put the firearm in my pocket and the magazine in my back pocket. I didn't load it, and because I didn't want to leave it in the car when I got home, which was my hope to get home, but obviously the accident occurred, and I know the responsibility of, you know, and take accountability for having intoxicated beverages while, you know, carrying a firearm and also driving it, you know, through this incident. It's like been a growing experience for me, and I know that, like, I was affected by a lot with that incident because it was a lot going through my head because I've never been arrested before. I never had any police contact. And with my career, obviously, I wrote what I do on my statement. I never had any incidents. I've been excelling at my job, multiple promotions throughout my career, which is now approaching 13 years. Never had any issues at work. So during this incident, it was like, everything flashed before me as, like, you know, I could possibly be terminated, demoted, and I was just nervous and honestly fearful at the time. But like as I sit here today, I say, you know, it was definitely a growing opportunity, and I realized from this incident, it's not about me, it's about the effect of my actions on other people, my family, friends, coworkers, society as a whole, and my whole mindset's been changed since then, and, you know, ever since that incident, I haven't had any issues, haven't had any contact with police. I've been constantly doing my excelling at work, excelling in my outside personal business that I have as well, and, you know, I haven't had any other further issues.
Counsel, any cross?
Sure, briefly, thank you. You mentioned your career, and you say it's written on the form. You have on the form stated Connecticut Department of Correction, that's
correct,
career,
yes.
You referred to.
Yes.
And what's your role, what's your position now with the Department of Correction?
Counselor Supervisor.
Counselor Supervisor, okay.
That's equivalent to like a captain.
Okay, yep, very much so. And you, I think, confirmed that you've had no further contact with the police since that date?
Correct.
And do the police have that firearm in their custody as far as you know?
No, I got documentation that it needed to be picked up, so I had a FFL come pick it up, and it's in his possession now.
Okay. If you'll allow this question, can you talk about the court case?
Sorry, I didn't mention that, correct. So as far as the court case went, all the charges were dismissed. I also participated in the alcohol and drug education program. I also participated in the Mothers Against Drunk Driving panel. I also had to pay restitution as well. Everything, and I also had to have the IID in my car due to refusal for doing a breathalyzer for a year. Everything was completed with no issues or no setbacks, and all the charges were dismissed.
Thank you very much. I have no further questions.
Okay, does the board have any questions? Chief?
What time of day did the accident occur?
It was approximately 7:30, 8 p.m.
Okay, was it light out, dark out?
It was starting, it was like dusk.
All right, where were you coming from?
I was actually coming from a restaurant / bar that was on Sergeant Drive.
What time did you arrive at the restaurant / bar?
I wasn't even there long, probably about 6:30-ish, if I left around 7:30, 8.
The accident happened around 8:30.
Yeah, so then probably like 7:30-ish, give or take. I was there probably for like an hour and a half, 2 hours at the most.
Did you have dinner?
No, I didn't, because during the day, I was doing a lot of like miscellaneous stuff as far as like with my own personal business, and then it was like, come down, we're meeting over here. So I just went down, you know, with no intention to get to.
Where was the gun while you were in the car?
Oh, I had it locked and secured in my glove box in my car.
Okay, and how much did you have to drink?
I hadn't been drinking in a while before that. I had probably about 3 or 4 drinks.
What kind of drinks?
Tequila.
Okay, and when you drove the car, were you intoxicated?
Yes.
So you left the bar / restaurant, got in the car, you were intoxicated. The gun at that point was where?
When I got in the car, I took it out the glove box and put it in my pocket because I don't live too far from the location, and I didn't want to leave it in the car.
And where were the rounds?
The rounds were in the magazine in my back pocket.
So you had the gun in the magazine on you. You had about 4 tequilas, driving the car with the gun on your body.
Yes.
With the ammunition, and you drove down the street and got in the accident.
Correct.
All right, you made a comment early on, you made a bad choice. What was that bad choice?
The bad choice was going out, drinking, and, you know, having regards for my own morals and going out drinking, knowing that with all the access we have to, like, you know, shared car services, stuff like that, I shouldn't have placed myself in that situation. So that's why I take sole responsibility for my actions during that time and the incident.
Yeah, I think that's correct. I think the bad choices are the decision to go to the bar with your gun.
Correct.
And it was in the car, but still your responsibility. Driving after drinking, and as you stated, you were intoxicated. And knowing you were intoxicated when you got in the car, you took the gun out of its secure locked place and put it on your body. So there's a bunch of bad choices there, and I think
yep.
You see that.
Yes, I do.
All right, thank you.
Other questions? Ms. Johnson.
Knowing that the penalties, or it was explained to you during processing that the penalties were double if you didn't take the intoxilizer, why did you refuse the intox?
During that time, I don't recall being informed that the penalties were double, or I would have taken it, because because I've never been in a situation of being arrested or anything like that, so I didn't know at the time like what the outcomes were going to be. Like, I didn't know.
Okay. Other questions? Seeing none, so do you have any other witnesses?
No.
Okay, would you like to make a closing statement?
As I said, like, that night doesn't define my character, and I won't let it define my character going forward. I'm going to continue to be productive in society for my family, friends, and everyone that surrounds me at work, continue to be a good leader, and just continue to have morals. Like I said, from that incident, I haven't been involved in anything else. I haven't had drinks and driven. I haven't done none of the above. And just, like, I'm just going to continue to do good and move it forward. That's it.
Counsel?
Just briefly, a closing statement. For the commissioner, the issuing authority certainly recognizes and respects the position that he's risen to within the Department of Correction and understands that not just anybody is able to elevate themselves to those positions. We also want to acknowledge he's been a very conciliatory attitude. He's accepted responsibility for his actions, and he recognizes all the things that went wrong that evening. It's upsetting or somewhat disturbing that he appears to have been somewhat resistant to the authority of the law enforcement that was on the scene that night, which again goes towards the suitability to have a permit and to carry a firearm, and obviously the decision to carry a firearm under the influence. I think everybody, including the appellant, recognizes that as a bad one. Nonetheless, the commissioner submits that the revocation was appropriate based on the conduct of the appellant that evening, and leaves to the discretion of the board any decisions to whether uphold or to reinstate. Nonetheless, if this were to be upheld, this would not be with any type of prejudice, and it would be an opportunity for a future application if the appellant decided to do that. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Brief factual.
Sure. This is a revocation by the Department of Emergency Services, Public Protection. Revocations for suitability. The basis of the denial is that the appellant was involved in a two-car motor vehicle accident in May of 2021. The appellant struck another vehicle from behind. This was no injuries occurred in the accident. The appellant appeared to be under the influence. During the interaction with police, they noticed an empty holster in his waistband near his stomach area. When they went to put him in handcuffs to find the handgun, it is reported that the appellant tensed up. They did handcuff him and found a Ruger 380 in his pants pocket. The appellant testified that while the handgun was in his pants pocket, the magazine was in his other pants pocket, and testified that the firearm was not loaded. He refused to take the field sobriety test and the breathalyzer. He was arrested for DWI, possession of firearm under the influence, following too close and interfering. Appears all the charges were dismissed. The appellant took the alcohol education program, other programs. Seems like he has a very excelled at work. He is a counselor supervisor for DOC.
Okay, comments by the board? Chief?
Just in addition to the bad decision that the appellant recognizes at this point, I just want to point out it's a very recent case. It was only 2 years ago since the arrest after the AR process that has been on for months and months since that was actually dismissed. We didn't miss that. But it is very recent.
Other comments? Attorney Sinetti?
The appellant is making a compelling case for himself. I think he's a good person, a responsible person. That all being said, routinely, when similar cases like this have come before this board, we have upheld the issuing authority. Someone carrying a loaded firearm in a car under the influence of alcohol, and this is made worse by the fact that there's an accident involved. He's lost control of his car to a certain degree and hit another car. So normally that would be, I think, a pretty clear-cut case for upholding the issuing authority. What I'm having trouble with is, I think, as I said, you make a good case for yourself, and I'm still undecided with this one.
Other comments?
So I'd comment that I'm happy you've been able to move forward in your career with no penalty or outlining situations, and your case is already dismissed or behind you. Again, there's some caution with the decision to be made with the circumstances confronted 2 years ago.
Can I say something?
Go ahead.
Also, I get to be noted that I've held my permit for, at that time, almost 13 years, I believe, and I never had any incidents with involving my permit. I held it for 13 years since I was 21 years old. And I never had any issues with the permit either.
Counselor, is there anything you wanted to add or ask? in response to that?
I have no further questions before the questions are released. Thank you.
All right, Chief Rosenzweig. Ms. Johnson. Colonel Overturf.
I'm going to go with issuing authority at this time.
Mr. Gray?
Issue authority at this time.
Attorney Sinetti?
Issuing authority at this time.
Dr. Conrad?
Appellant.
And chair votes issuing authority at this time. Thank you all.